Readers Entertainment Radio presents Book Lights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Book Lights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Hello, everyone. It's March. We're moving into the spring. So wherever you are, I hope things are starting to warm up. I hope flowers are starting to bloom. And I'm so glad that you guys are here listening today because you're in for a treat. We have a new thriller, and it's by Dr. Catherine Hutchison Hay. And if you haven't read her books yet, she has a really interesting background of books. So we'll talk about that for sure. But if you haven't read her yet, I'll read her bio here so you can get to know her. Dr. Catherine Hutchison Hay is an educational consultant, author, editor, speaker, and podcaster. She currently serves as a content editor and writing coach for Ironstein Media, where she's responsible for ensuring quality content. She also freelances as an editor and coach to help writers get their project ready for publication. Additionally, she works as a sensitivity reader for Sensitivity Between the Lines, providing feedback to ensure content is culturally sensitive and inclusive. As a review board member and contributor to Inkspirations, an online magazine for Christian writers, Catherine actively supports and encourages aspiring writers to hone their skills and pursue their passion. She regularly blogs for The Pen, The Write Conversation, the EFN newsletter, and the BRMCWC blog. And she has also published her writings in guideposts. She hosts her own podcast, Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem, Laced with Morality, and is the co-host of the WordWeaversInternational.com live podcast, Open Mic. Fifth of the Story is her first market thriller, and you can find out more about her and her books at her website. I did put a link right on the Blog Talk site if you're listening today live, or if you're listening later, you can click that anytime and find out more about her and all of her different projects. And I don't want to waste any more time. Are you there, Catherine?
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for the great intro.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so glad you're here because we were chatting before the show, but you have such an interesting story. But you do have a new book out, A Fifth of the Story, and it's your first thriller. Do you want to tell everybody all about why they should go grab a copy today?
Yeah, it's – well, I had a blast writing this book, and I was able to write the things that I love to read. I love – I'm not really a chick flick kind of a girl. Sorry guys, if you're into that. But I love the thriller. I love mysteries. I love psychological suspense. And so it was a book I wanted to read. And I was also able to add lots of realism to it because I was able to draw from my husband's career. He worked in the intelligence agencies in the military, which is the DIA, which if you're not familiar with that, it would be the – comparable to the CIA, but for the military. And so, yeah. And so this book, it's not just a story about the CIA and the FBI, but it's also a story about what happens if we're, you know, with homeland terrorism. And we've been seeing quite a bit of that on U.S. soil, just being worried about our own turning against us. And also, it's about loyalty, about themes of loyalty and friendship, things that are really important to me.
I love that. Where did you maybe, let's see, read from the headlines? What sparked the idea for this story? Because it's really different from the other things that you've published.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I come from a background of nonfiction. You know, I was a principal for many years, I guess lectured for my former doctoral program, wrote lots of things for the educational arena. But I wanted to segue. And then I also wrote, I continued to write devotionals. I maintain a blog, a team of bloggers, actually, and we put out weekly devotionals with encouragement. And we also published a book. It was called Focus, 45 Devotionals to Keep Jesus in the Picture. We just published that in December of 2023. And then my first book was God's Little Black Dress for Women, How to Put on the Full Armor of God Without Losing Your Femininity. That was published in 2016. And outside of that, I also write for tons of magazines and things of that nature, but usually in nonfiction. So this was very different from what I usually do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Was it a story that demanded you tell it, or how did it all come to be? Because it is really different from what you've been doing.
Right. So it was, I've been seeing a lot of extremism, and I knew quite a bit about extremism because of what my husband did. And a lot of what the military does is they're kind of similar to the CIA. As if people don't know, the CIA is not, they're not truly active on U.S. soil. They're more looking out, like in other countries and other spaces, to see how to protect the United States from harm, right? From the bad guys. And so I knew about extremism and how, you know, we saw how extremism affected people when we saw 9/11.
Right.
We saw that. And then we saw, you see different forms of extremism when we saw issues with, like, the Proud Boys and unfortunate things that have happened. People have gotten killed, and how volatile and frightening it is. And things that are happening on U.S. soil that I don't think we ever imagined would happen. We think of it in terms of other countries. When we think terrorism, we think about people coming in to harm us. But I saw such a dangerous uptick in things that United States citizens were doing to each other because of their extreme beliefs.
Right.
And so there was a story I wanted to tell about kind of like, wake up, people. You know, we have to start looking at each other and what is happening, why we are so divided and becoming so volatile to each other.
Mm-hmm. And when you set out to write this, I don't know if you're a plotter or a pantser, but did the book surprise you? Did it turn out the way that you were planning, or what, did it take a turn and you were like, wow, okay.
Yeah, it really shocked me. I'm a former plotter turned pantser.
Okay, welcome. I'm a pantser as well.
You are? Oh, okay, awesome.
Writing without a net.
yes. So I guess I could be, I'm sort of like a planter. So
there we
I
go.
Start out, yeah, I start out with the framework of the idea. I start out with, you know, I know what's the inciting incident. I know all about the character's arc. And then the character begins to tell me more about himself, and it really blossoms. And I know how it's going to end sometimes, because sometimes the ending surprises you.
Mm-hmm.
As an author. And
yes.
So I started out with the seed of an idea. What if, you know, what if you're in an organization and you're in these tight, incredible friendships, and then you start looking around and start thinking, wait a minute, maybe this organization, maybe these friendships aren't what I thought they were. And then how do you maintain integrity? How do you still have hope and trust in relationships in your country? That sort of thing.
Okay. Was there a theme that really surprised you, or was your favorite as it came together?
What surprised me were the secrets that my antagonist had. Now, he's a great guy, but I didn't know he had such dark secrets in his background. Like, he's not perfect. And then what really surprised me was how much I loved my antagonist. Like, I didn't want him to be bad, but he had such an incredible backstory, and he was such a great person. And I just hated that he, you know, succumbed to certain ideologies. He succumbed to his unfortunate upbringing. I hated that for him. So that shocked me that I felt so bad for my antagonist. I was just And I was shocked that I liked the bad guy as much as I did.
Right.
And he, yeah, and he was really bad. I mean, he was awful.
I'm a sucker for the bad guys, so, but I do like to write a good redemption story. But a lot of if I have a really bad guy in a series, by that final book, it's like, okay,
yeah,
let's do this. Are you going to write any more books? Is this going to be a series?
Yeah, so my intent is for 5 books in the series. Since it's a fifth of the story, I want to tell the whole story. And the prequel is already finished. And with this current publisher, it will be released next year in 2025.
Okay.
And then I am in the process of working on the next books in the series. So I write really fast. I would really prefer to get it out as quickly as possible, but I'm on the timeline of the publisher.
Right, the publishing schedule.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting, though, that you're going to have 5 books. The next one's already written, so you're writing the third one now?
Yes, I'm working on – so the third one should take up from where – a fifth of the story left off, and the one that I finished that should come out next year, maybe sooner, we'll keep our fingers crossed, who knows, that is actually the prequel to a fifth of the story, because there's a character in there, and that's another thing that surprised me. I didn't know that this was a character that was a secondary character. I didn't know how pivotal she was to the story. And I didn't realize that she really wanted her own story. and so her voice gets louder and louder, and her role becomes more prominent than I ever imagined it would have been. And so she's really vying for attention in the novel, and so she gets her own novel. Her name is Patty Pang. And if you read a fifth of the story, I think, like me, you're going to fall in love with her. She's just fiery. She's practical. She's interesting. And you're going to love her.
Oh, I love it. And I was going to ask you what the pivot was like for you being a nonfiction author and writing articles and papers and things like that to going into fiction. Were you constantly reminding yourself that you get to be God, anything can happen? You know, was it hard for you to make that shift?
Yeah, so it wasn't as difficult as I thought, because I love short stories. So I've always written short stories. I study them. I absolutely love them. But then to turn that into a full book, that's a whole different thing. And my issue was to make sure that I was showing versus telling, because lots of times in nonfiction, you're more telling,
true.
I feel.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Constantly had to work on making sure that I was really showing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, in an article, you're telling someone, you know, the best ways to do something as opposed to showing them.
Yes, exactly. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you, I'm assuming that you had the podcast before you wrote the book, but I'm not sure. How did you get into the Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem podcast?
Well, so I was in the process of writing a fifth of the story, and I just thought, I don't have any platform in this genre.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to connect more with authors and experts in this genre. And I would also like to create a place for them to share, because I just see in the writing industry, many authors are being taken advantage of. I mean, I remember being contacted by a podcaster, and they were going to charge me $400 to be on their podcast, and things like happen over and over again. Yeah,
don't do that, guys.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it.
Anything.
Yeah, don't do it. Get on our shows. And I wanted to create a space that was a way for authors with no strings attached to come and have a quality space where they could share. And I, I really work on, I could easily make this a full-time job in terms of the podcast, because I invest in hiring a graphic artist, you invest in your software, you invest in the programs and apps in order to make, to produce a quality show, and you're not charging anyone for it. Mm-hmm. So it's a cost in time and resources, and so I loved it, though. I'm so glad I did it, because it really helped me as an author to hear the background and the stories of other authors in this same genre, and also to see that authors in general, because there are people who come on occasionally who are children's authors, or they write nonfiction, so they're outside of the genre, but I have them concentrate more on the process. And it just showed, it helps to show that no matter what writing we're doing, there are many things that are similar. You know, the process of getting an agent, the process of putting together a book proposal, the process of preparing an elevator pitch, and all the things that have to do with being published successfully and building your platform.
Oh, I love that. So this sounds like a great podcast for writers who are maybe just starting out, right?
Writers. So I find that the demographic seems to be writers who are starting out, seasoned authors who want to hear about what another author is doing. And then you have the fans of the authors who check out the behind-the-scenes story about that particular author. And some of these fans are fierce. Like one time I was contacted by a well-known author, and he said, "Listen, my fans are upset because you pulled my episode." And I was what? I didn't pull your episode. And when I went back, I saw that by mistake I had unpublished it. But I was so happy. I'm like, wow, you have some really, you have some loyal fans.
Nice.
That are calling me out. So that was amazing. I was like, wow, okay. So we have fans that are checking out these podcasts too. So I have to keep all of that in mind.
Right, right. Well, what was your writing journey like? Because I saw that you have a bachelor's degree in English, which usually tells me, oh, they're going to be a writer, but then you kind of veered off into being a school principal and all kinds of cool things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What was your writing journey like when you decided, you know what, I'm going to write a book?
Yeah, my writing journey took lots of turns. I knew that there was something there, yeah, because I remember being approached, the chair of my high school, the English department, and he had me meet with the other English teachers, and they were comparing me to Judy Blume at that time, and he was like, "We really think that you could write a book. We think there's so much promise and hope in you," and I just never forgot that. And then that was interesting to me because really I wanted to go into medicine. I entered college pre-med. My intent was to be a doctor. Right. And I was actually at the middle of my program when I found out that there were some accreditation issues with the program, and they wanted us to transfer to other colleges. I would have to start all over again, or I could switch majors. And so I'd been getting so much feedback from my professors, because at the time I was taking these really hard English classes because I loved it, not because I had to take it. And they, you should really come over to the other side. And so I made a snap judgment to just go into journalism and English. And I ended up having to double up on courses in order to graduate in 4 years. And my last semester, it was like one credit short from taking two semesters together to graduate.
Oh my God.
So I went in graduating thinking I was going to land a writing job and just go on to be wildly successful. Tons of money writing, and being an author then in New York, I felt it was like trying to be an actress It was it was so hard, and the pay was so little. It was I was going to have to go into Manhattan most of the time. I lived in the suburbs, and I just couldn't find anything that would sustain me. So I did work as a columnist for some local magazines, and then to supplement my income, I began substitute teaching, and that's when I fell in love with education and made the decision to get my master's in education. And then I got my doctorate in educational leadership and supervision. But my love for writing never left. I continued to write columns as a principal. And later on, after I had my last child, this is 16 years ago, I got really ill. And it was a combination of being ill, and then my husband was in the military, and he was being deployed. And he said, we have to deploy and move anyway. You have to give up your job anyway. You've been so sick. Take this time, take a year off, and explore writing. And he built me a little office. We lived on military, in military housing. I had an office with the in the laundry room with the litter box, the cat's litter box, and I would write after the kids were in bed or early in the morning. And that's when things really started slow. I started doing what I knew. I would write curriculum. I would write programs for Bible study programs for the military. I segued into writing curriculum for churches. And then one thing led to another, and I kept on building and building on the platform. And every year I kept on saying, I'm going back to the principalship. I'm going back. And finally, 2 years ago, I said, I'm not going back. I'm full time.
I'm done. I love that. When you start writing this fiction book, did you go to writers' conferences? Did you find a critique group? Did you find an agent? How did you go about making that happen to see it published?
Yes, I began going to writers' conferences because I was like, you know, if I'm an author, and my husband kept on reminding me, he's like, if you are an author, you have to behave like an author. You have to take yourself seriously. So I began investing in attending writers' conferences. Best thing I ever did. I joined a critique group. I joined Word Weavers International. Fantastic. My first conference was Blue Ridge Christian Writers. It's like a long name, Mountain Writers Conference. And they advised us about making sure you're in a critique group. Before I left that conference, I had already joined an online version of that group and an in-person critique group. And I still belong to them, and I even became a president for online critique groups, and I'm also a mentor for other presidents. And so those are things that I highly advise. I also did get an agent, and that was an interesting story because I actually had someone who I worked for. I freelance, and so it was a senior editor who had worked with me, and actually she went to different conferences, and she was speaking, telling people you should pick her up as a client. And I had an agent contact me, and
so I signed
with an agent. And then unfortunately, she was actually a doctor who did really well as an author, and took a break from what she was doing, and she went back to practicing. So I lost her. I lost my agent. But by
you
then, I already had. we're still friendly and everything like that. But I already had a publishing deal, and so I up in the air about do I need an agent? I guess you would need an agent if you want to go to like the Big Five. You know, you can't just approach them unsolicited. So that's something I'll think about later on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For now, you have a publisher you're happy with, and you're just moving forward.
Right. Yeah. And Endgame/Harambee Press, they have been absolutely fantastic. It's been a blessing to work with them. So I'm pleased.
Yay. Good. Good.
Yeah.
That's always good to hear of publishers who are doing well by their authors.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I always like to ask which writers, because most of our listeners are readers and we all like to add to our to-be-read list. And so which authors do you like to read that get you so pumped up that you just think, oh my gosh, I got to get to the keyboard?
Okay, yeah. So there are a couple, and that's such a great question, because to be a great writer, you have to read. I don't understand writers who don't read. I don't get that. Right. So one of them is Stephen James. He's similar to me in the fact that I never shy away from the fact that I'm a Christian, but I'm not necessarily writing. I feel led to write like Christian,
that's the core. Mm-hmm.
But it's written from a Christian worldview. Mm-hmm. And Stephen James is similar in that way. His stuff is raw, it's punchy. But like me, we don't use gratuitous sex or strong language. I have language, but it's not, you don't have to worry about a bunch of $10 cuss words in there. I absolutely love, this is the oldie but goodie, Stephen King,
yes.
James Patterson. I love, there's a newer author. She's really interesting because she's a self-published author and has done it incredibly successfully. Her name is Kirsten Moglen, and I met her at Killer Nashville. Wonderful person, and her novels are page turners. They keep me up at night, and that's exactly what you want readers to do, is to stay up at night, having to call in sick to work because they stayed up all night reading your book.
Right. And,
another one is Diane Mills. She's a phenomenal author. She writes romantic suspense. Lynette Eason is another one. She writes romantic suspense. And so they're edgy. They're not, you know, I said earlier, mm-hmm. I'm not a chick flick kind of a person. And those books read really, really well. They're tough. They're thrilling. You're in for a ride when you read those books. Another author is Ted Decker. And that's all I can think of for now.
Yeah, that's a good mm-hmm. list. So you've mm-hmm. got lots of books there for people to sink their teeth into, especially if you enjoy a thriller. Do you consider, because thrillers have like I write paranormal romance, and there's a million kinds of, you know, there's shifters or vampires or witches or whatever. Well, thrillers are kind of the same thing. It can be a domestic thriller or a thriller of exotic locations, or it can be like a 24. Remember that TV show where it was going ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk? You know, it can be a time thriller where, oh my God, the world's going to blow up in an hour.
Yeah,
and the whole
right.
book takes place, you know, over that. What is your favorite genre of thriller?
My favorite genre would be, I would say, I love espionage. I love, I absolutely love domestic thrillers. And I also love psychological thrillers. Those are some of my absolute favorites. And, you know, I'm a sci-fi kind of a girl, too. I love sci-fi. I don't know why I didn't mention that before, but absolutely love sci-fi. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sci-fi is a great way to read and examine world problems that we have, but in a whole different way. And so mm-hmm. I find sci-fi can really dig into issues that we face now, but they have it out in space where we can look at it, you know, with I think it's easier to get into someone else's skin when, you mm-hmm. know, it's futuristic. It's a better way to look at it.
Right, yeah. Octavia Butler is someone I love mm-hmm. reading in terms of sci-fi. You know who's dabbled in sci-fi is Walter Mosley. I love him, too. He writes mysteries.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, love those authors.
Okay. Well, we could keep talking all day, but we're running out of time. So if a reader gets really excited after they read your book, how can they get in touch with you? What's the best way? Are you on social media, through your website? How can they find you?
Yeah, I'm on all the things. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, X, formerly known as Twitter, Threads. But the best way, I don't know if I already mentioned Instagram, but the best way to connect with me, where you'll find all those things, is on my website, which is www.drkatherinehayes.com. Very simple.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being here today. It was great meeting you, and good luck with your new book. Everyone run out and grab a fifth of the story. It sounds fantastic, and there are more books to come, so jump in now, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was an absolute blast.
Thanks for joining us on Booklights. Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com. for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.